The following was recorded during the Newcomers Workshop on December 11, 2021. This recording is the last of three different sections.
I marry a compulsive overeater. And I will say now, when I walked into the rooms again 1,070 days ago, and that was my first day of abstinence, I'm coming up on 3 years. And step one was the hardest, the most frightening, the most wonderful, and most life-giving step that I've ever taken. When my highest weight was 416 pounds, and I've lost over 100 pounds four times, and even the third time before I had asked my physician for a consult with a psychiatrist. I wanted to know, why do I keep on trying to kill myself and gaining that weight again? And when I met with the MSW, first thing she said was, Mary, you have a disease. It's a disease of compulsive eating. Go to OA. Well, I did, and it was a great place to be, but I never really worked the steps. I just enjoyed the being with them every Saturday, getting away from my mom for half a day on Saturdays kind of thing. And I lost 100 pounds again, got cocky, left. And then, in fact, I have a Christmas ornament where the house cleaner celebrated losing 104 pounds in 2011. And then I was at the point where I gained the weight again, and I lost the weight using a pay and weigh, and got to the point where I qualified for knee surgery, for the knee replacement surgery. Qualified, got on the list, and then in the next 2.5 months, I gained 25 pounds. I couldn't stop eating. I was still using the pay away, going and getting my food and going through the drive-through on the way home to eat something before someone saw me at home eating all this while eating nicely at home using my pay away. Gained 25 pounds. I mean, threatening the loss of all I have done to have this need. So when I think about step one, and it starts with, yes, I admitted I was powerless. And I had no control, absolutely. But most importantly, I had no idea how unmanageable my life was until I took that step, worked with the sponsor, and gradually came to that life-giving experience of a life beyond my wildest dream. And I circle back to one, two, three. I call it the dance. One, two, three. Because admitting my powerlessness throughout my life, even our first exercise, so many things of which I'm powerless, and admitting that and working the steps. I am so grateful. So grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. Our next speaker, speaking on the tool of literature, is Phoebe.
Good morning. My name is Phoebe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm really honored to be here today and grateful to have been asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, specifically around the tool of literature. I've been coming back an abstinent for 13 years, and coming back is an important part of that story because I first came to OA in 1993, and if you think about it, the math doesn't add up. That's because there were 8 years there where I didn't keep coming back. And I now really appreciate that the fact that I keep coming back is one of the small pieces of action I take to refrain from compulsive overeating. It is an important part of what I do to refrain from compulsive overeating. I keep coming back. But I'm reflecting specifically on the tool of literature, and I went and I, you know, tried to gather up a bunch of literature, and then I realized that actually I have another few books on my Kindle, which I can't share with you, But I love having it on my Kindle because, and I loved the share about phone because it's true. The phone is now so much of my program, including literature. But I just, for the newcomers, I just wanted to say that literature for me was a great way into this program because before I was ready to pick up the phone and talk to people one-on-one, I got my literature at a meeting, so I had to go to a meeting first, but I discovered who I was and that I had a community that had experience with what I was going through, that had experience with my powerlessness, that had experience with freedom from that powerlessness because of these books. This book is one of the things I want to say about this book. And there are a whole bunch of additional books on topics in OA, including the recent one out on body image and sexuality. They're just so good for specific topics. But one of the things I really love about this book is that it addresses the ways that we keep learning as a fellowship about how to understand what it is we're up against and what works. And this book was available when I first came in. Oh, sorry, I'm not mentioning books. This one is the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, second edition. I have the first edition somewhere. This is just what we call sometimes the brown book. This is the first book that OA published. And I want to say that it's got three great things in the appendix, including explanations of how what we have is a disease of the mind, a disease of the body, and a disease of the spirit. So this is also a really important piece of literature. This is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this book helps explain the relationship between Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous. And that relationship is important. That's what grounds us in history. And you can see, I could say a lot more and I'm way out of time. I would promise myself I wasn't gonna go over time, but any of you who know me knew that was a fruitless effort. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Phoebe. Our second to last speaker today is Soleil, and she is speaking on the topic of meeting. The tool of meetings.
Thank you so much, Carlin. Sule here. Compulsive eater. Is it 3 minutes? 3 minutes. Great. I'll time myself. That is wonderful because meetings are what showed up for me in the exercise. I'm so excited. So meetings are a wonderful tool, especially for me. I noticed they're an antidote for isolation. Personally, alone time is unconscious eating time in the past for me. So I've tried to make a policy of not eating during meetings. And that's working pretty well. I am loving learning about the program of OA. Through this anonymous democracy is what I'm calling it. It is just fantastic. I appreciate that there aren't any experts, that there's no royalty, there's no privileged people. In fact, the most important people are those who are new. Somebody who's wandered into a room for the first, second, or third time, or folks who are sort of new into program. And what I notice is the kindergarten space that I find myself in around the tools in the program when I'm listening to people processing, in the early days or the early stages of becoming conscious and becoming aware. I feel like I'm learning about the program building blocks by listening. Meetings are where I tap into the power of the fellowship. I actually think of it as either the underlying, thread that ties everything together. It's in almost every tool, but the power of the fellowship is there in the meetings. And there are so many different kinds of meetings. I've been playing, a meeting a day for a couple of weeks here and discovered, atheist meetings and prayer and meditation, different formats and focuses. There's meetings 20 minutes a day that you go and do every morning or every day you join with your group. So I had no idea that all this was out there for me. And there's got to be something almost every hour there is a meeting. Meetings are also a very safe space to be vulnerable, to celebrate, to grieve. In meetings, I get to be that irregular and imperfect person who's okay anyway. It's a space free of shame and guilt if I choose to do that. In meetings, I can step away from my own selfish compulsive thoughts and practice a deeper listening to other people. Then I'm not thinking about food. Then I'm not thinking about what's next. I'm listening to them and hearing them. Meetings are showing up for myself first and then for others. And I guess just to round it up here, because I see my time is out, meetings are where the group wisdom is activated, group intelligence. I just really appreciate the experience, strength, and hope that I've picked up through this process of tapping into meetings. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Soleil. Really appreciate you being here. I know it was a difficult time in your family, and it means so much that you were here, even though you weren't able to be with us on camera. Thank you so much. Thank you to all our speakers. We've got one more, which is me. Hi, I'm Carlin. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic in recovery. I am sharing today on the tool of a food plan. Abstinence is defined by Overeaters Anonymous as the action of refraining from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. And so, of course, I came into OA looking for the perfect diet. I was a diet mentality person, but I had realized a very important thing, and that is every single time I diet, I gain weight. Every single time I diet, I gain weight. So I may lose some for a minute. I'll be at that weight for 15 seconds, and then I will gain it all back, and I'll get a little rebate too. I'll get a little extra. But I thought you were going to tell me exactly how to eat and what was going to happen. And what you told me was something very, very different than that. You told me OA is not a diet and calories club, because OA is a terrible diet and calories club, if I'm frank. You told me that there were 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 9 tools. And those were going to help me to treat what was really happening for me. We used to say when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, honey, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. And I found a way to get the people that were living rent-free in my head out of that space. I learned how to have different choices when I was triggered into action, when I thought my black and white thinking was taking over. And that was not because of what I was eating. That was because of what I was doing in the steps and the traditions and the tools. And I found out, and most importantly, that I'm not alone. I am not alone in any of this. And diet programs are a lonely place for me. So the tool of plan of eating for me, if there's 12 steps and 12 traditions and 9 tools, the plan of eating is 1/33 of my program. And anytime that I get super focused on what I'm eating or what I weigh, I'm on that habit trail again. I'm a little controlled mouse going around and around and around and around, and I'm missing that there are 32 other things that I could be focusing on right now that will help me to see what's eating me, so that I don't have to worry so much about what I'm eating. And I encourage you to join with me in the celebration that Overeaters Anonymous is not a diet and calories club, but a community of beautiful people who have found a way to live in relationship with food and with each other and support each other. I'm super glad you're here. We are now